Like most of you, when I woke up this morning and I saw the news of what was going on in Israel overnight as we were sleeping, blissfully ignorant of everything that was happening, I got that very sick feeling in my stomach that you always get when we hear, unfortunately, of these terrible terror attacks. But somehow, this one, even before I heard any details, this one felt like it was going to hit closer to home. Because when you hear about a neighborhood like Har-Nof, who doesn't know people in Har-Nof? And you figured that there will be, as much as in the Jewish world, there's never more than 2 or 3 degrees of separation. We felt like with this one, there would be 1 degree of separation at most. And sure enough, I'm sure everyone in this room is not separated by more than 1 degree of separation from the Niftarim, from Rav Moshe Tversky, Zichrono Levracha, Rav Kamal Levine, Zichrono Levracha, Rav Aryeh Kupinsky, Zichrono Levracha, and Rav Avram Shmuel Goldberg, Zichrono Levracha. And we were talking today, Rabbi Septimus and Rabbi Gwartz and Rabbi Witkin and myself were trying to figure out what to do in terms of the community-wide Tehillim gatherings that were happening. And normally I give a shiur on Tuesday night. So Tuesday night, 9:30 is always Tuesday night shiur. I give a halacha shiur, 9:30 to 10:15. So I was thinking for a community-wide gathering, we should cancel the shiur and have a community-wide tefillah. But then it just started to bother me because I know, even though I never personally met, as far as I recall, any of the Niftarim, but based on everything I was reading about them, based on everything everyone was telling me about them, the last thing they would want is to be Mevatel Torah. And Adrabah, they would think that the greatest tribute would be Limud Torah Li'iloi Nishmasam. So we decided instead to alter the schedule in such a way that we can continue Limud Torah Li'iloi Nishmasam. And in order to do that properly, I figured the best way to do it is to use their own words of Torah. Now, probably everyone in this room, or many of the people in this room, are more equipped to describe at least some of the Niftarim than I am, and to describe their Torah. Probably many of you have heard Shiurim from them. I never heard Shiurim from any of them. I heard many Shiurim from the brother of Rav Moshe Tversky, from Rav Meir Tversky. He's spoken in this shul before. We had the great privilege of driving him home, driving him here, and spending some time with him when he spoke in the shul. And I found online, someone sent me this morning, a link to a website that has Sefer HaMitzvah Shiurim from Rav Moshe Tversky. So I figured the best way to be able to give over the Torah of Moshe Tversky is to learn some of the Torah of Moshe Tversky. So this afternoon, I was listening to the Shiurim of Rav Moshe Tversky. From what I'm told, all of the Niftarim were outstanding Talmidei Chachamim, were tremendous Ohavei Torah, were tremendous Masmidim. I got an email from Karen Biavna. One of them was an alumnus of Karen Biavna as well. All my friends who learned by Rav Chaim Milson's yeshiva said that one of them was someone who had been learning in Rav Chaim Milson's yeshiva before it had closed down for a long, long time. So we're gonna focus on a bit of Torah that was taught by Rav Moshe Tversky in the first shiur that he gave on Sefer HaMitzvos. It was his introduction shiur to Sefer HaMitzvos, and it was a shiur on the mitzvah of Emunah, but really just an introduction to Sefer HaMitzvos and a shiur on the mitzvah of Emunah. Just before we get to that, just to give a little bit of who Rav Moshe Tversky, Zichron Levracha, Shamin Kamdama, who exactly he was. I was talking to Rav David Willig Shlita this afternoon, who is an old friend of Rav Moshe Tversky's, and from their younger years. And he said that he remembers when Rav Moshe Tversky, Zichron Levracha, when he had his vart, when he got engaged in Muncie, and all the chaverim went to Muncie, and he said that he remembers that Rav Yosher Ber, the Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Tversky's grandfather, was there, obviously. It was his grandson's vart. And he remembers that the grandfather of Soloveitchik had mentioned to Rav Abba Berman, he said, you know what the Pasuk says about Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo Kein Avdi Moshe. He says, what a strange lashon, Lo Kein Avdi Moshe. Now my servant Moshe is not this way. What do you mean? Just say what he is. What do you mean he's not this way? What's Lo Kein Avdi Moshe? So he said, you know what it means is that people look at, that Miriam and Aaron were able to look at Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, well, we're Nevi'im, he's a Navi. Okay, so he's a little bit better of a Navi. He's a little bit on higher level, but we're all Nevi'im. We're all basically the same. He's just a little more of a Navi than we are. But the Vart was no, lo kein avdi Moshe. You don't even know what Moshe Rabbeinu is. It's not that you're basically the same, he's just a little bit better. He's qualitatively an entirely different kind of Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu was an entirely different kind of Navi than you are. You can't even be Masig, you can't possibly comprehend what Moshe Rabbeinu was. So Rav Soloveitchik said at Rav Moshe Tversky's Vart, a young man just got engaged. Rav Soloveitchik said, lo kein avdi Moshe. People look at him and they say, I'm a Talmud Chacham, he's a bigger Talmud Chacham. I'm a Masmid, he's a bigger Masmid. I try to be a Tzaddik, he's a bigger Tzaddik. As a young man, he already said, lo kein avdi Moshe. He's an entirely different Bria. You can't be Masig what kind of Tzaddik we're talking about. We're talking about a kind of person who's on an entirely different level. Such a special person. People think that they're like him, just a little lower. They're not like him. Lo kein avdi Moshe. He's an entirely different person. Rav Meiselman Shlita, who gave a hesped at the Levayas, one of the hespedim I was able to catch and to listen to, it was streamed online. Rav Meiselman mentioned that he remembers watching him grow up, watching Rav Moshe Tversky grow up, and he said he was mamash kadosh mirechem. He was someone who was, he was different even at a very young age. At the age of 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, there was something different about him. He had a certain taras ha-nefesh, a certain purity that you couldn't even define. He was a very, very special person. He was extremely close to all of his Talmidim. The Talmidim all described how he wouldn't even go out to eat lunch. He would sit there during lunchtime, so that when they finished their lunch, if they wanted to talk to him about anything, they can come back and talk to him, learning, and all day long. He's just learning with one Talmud after another. He was a tremendous Masmid, extremely diligent. Anyone who knew him from back in the day was always reminiscing about how they would watch him and Rav Chaim Ilson learn B'chavrusa till 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, just like, never sleep, just learning through the night. Tremendous, tremendous Hasmada. Last night he was up till 3 a.m. And then he was at the 7 o'clock minyan, this morning. He was a Geza Kodesh. He came from very holy stock. He was on both sides. One side from the Gedolei Talmidei Chachamim, and the other side from the Gedolei Chasidus. And obviously he was a very close Talmud of his grandfather, Rav Yoshe Ber Zichron Levracha. And he was an Ish Emes. Rabbi Meiselman described how he was an Ish Emes B'kol Mashmu'uso. Got a certain amount of satisfaction from the way Rabbi Meiselman described how all the press applied for the rights to be able to come into the yeshiva for the funeral, to be part of the funeral. And he said, the agents of Sheker will not be at the Levaya of an Ish Emes. The people who spend their lives promulgating and advancing Sheker don't belong in the Levaya of an Ish Emes. And he didn't allow any press. He didn't allow any of them into the Levaya. So the most important thing you could do for a Talmud Chacham is Nifter, as Chazal say, to be Moshev Yeshiva al Kivro, to learn Torah on his kever, to learn Torah Li'ilu Nishmaso. So tonight's Torah should be Li'ilu Nishmaso, but not just Li'ilu Nishmas, Rabbi Tversky, but Rabbi Levine, Rabbi Kupinski, and Rabbi Goldberg as well. And the zechus of our learning tonight and our tefillos tonight should be for the for zechus for Refuah Shleima, for those that were injured, and zechus for all of Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael certainly need Yeshuos very, very quickly. So Rabbi Tversky started this year by describing what the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam is about, but he said in order to understand what the Sefer HaMitzvos is about, the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam, of course, is a minion of 613 mitzvos. It's a count of the 613 mitzvos in the Torah. Where do we get the idea that there even are 613 mitzvos in the Torah? Where does it say that there are 613 mitzvos in the Torah? So you say, well, Chazal say, Uncle Maishi said, everyone knows that there are 613 mitzvos in the Torah, but the truth is Chazal said a lot of different things. In some places Chazal said there are thousands of mitzvos in the Torah. Other places, the Ramban shakes out every single place where Chazal say how many mitzvos there are in the Torah. There's one place where Chazal say there are 613 mitzvos in the Torah. That place happens to be a Gemara toward the end of Maseches Makos, toward the very end of Maseches Makos, where the Gemara tells us, Darash Rabbi Simlai darshind, Shesh Mils V'Shalosh Esrei Mitzvos Nemru Lo LeMoshe, that there were 613 mitzvos that were said to Moshe. Shalosh Mils V'Shishim V'Chamish Lavin Kaminyin Emos HaChama, there are 365 negative commandments corresponding to the days of a solar year. Umasayim v'arboyim u'shmona asei k'neged evarav shel adam. And there are 248 positive commandments corresponding to the limbs of a person. Amar Rav Hamnuna Maikra. So he says, yeah, but where's the pasuk that tells us that there are 613 mitzvos? If you were to open up a chumash and start counting mitzvos, how many things does the Torah tell you to do? You will find thousands of mitzvos. And that's only the daraisas that are explicit. Forget about all the things that we learn out from an extra word here, from something there, and forget about all the dinim d'rabbanan, just the explicit. You can find thousands of things. How do I know that we can boil it down to 613 basic categories of mitzvos? Torah tziva lanu Moshe Marasha, Torah begematria shis mea v'chadzrei havi. The pasuk says, Torah tziva lanu Moshe. The Moshe gave us a Torah. He commanded us, he gave us mitzvos of Torah. Torah is a gematria of 611, and Anochi v'lo yilchami pi agvura shamanum. 611 we got from Moshe Rabbeinu, and two of them, Anochi and lo yeh, we got directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. 611 plus 2 is 613. There is our 613 mitzvos in the Torah. Now the Gemara says something very strange. We had 613 mitzvos, and that's what we know about. We know about our 613 mitzvos. Now the Gemara says, "But David, v'ha'emidon al chasesrei." David HaMelech came along and said, we could boil it down to 11. And it goes through how David boiled it down to 11. And it goes on through the generations. But Micha, v'ha'emidon al shalosh. Micha came and said, we can knock it down even further. We could boil it down to 3 basic mitzvos. And it quotes a pasuk over there also. Chazer Yishayahu v'amidon al shtayim. Yishayahu came along, we can knock it down to 2 mitzvos. And then the Gemara says, finally, Bach Habakkuk v'amidon al achas. Habakkuk came along and said, we can knock it down to 1. There's 1 basic idea in Kol HaTorah Kula. Shenemar, v'tzadik be'emunaso yichya. That a tzadik lives with his emuna. And that's the 1 mitzvah in the Torah. So what exactly is going on? We had 613. We still observe all 613. On no one's count of the 11, the 3, the 2, no one has like tefillin or lulav, and we still do all those things, right? So what does it mean that they knocked it down to 11, they knocked it down to smaller numbers? 613 is a good number. That actually covers all of Judaism. So what does it mean they knock it down further? So says Rashi, also very shver Rashi. Rashi writes, V'amidon al achas esrei, shebidchila hayu tzadikim. That in the old generations, people were tzaddikim, so they were able to do lots of mitzvos. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them 613 mitzvos. And then, Aval Doros HaAchronim lo yu tzaddikim kol kach. Later generations, by the time we got to David HaMelech's time, people weren't such tzaddikim. Who can handle 613? 11, that sounds like a good number. That sounds like a manageable number. If they try to observe all the mitzvahs, no one would be able to observe all of them. So David HaMelech came along and said it's only 11. So they'll be zocha at least if they do these 11 mitzvahs. And therefore each subsequent generation, as they got worse and worse, as we got further away from our Sinai, further away from the Avos, as we experience the natural phenomena of Yuridas Hadoros, of going down in our level of what of righteousness, we couldn't handle that many mitzvos. Very, very difficult, Rashi, to understand. So what? So we don't have to do them all anymore? No, we of course we have to do all of them. Of course we have to observe all 613 mitzvos. What's Rashi driving at? That's where Rabbi Twersky raised the question. He said, what exactly is Rashi driving at? But he said, we could ask a few more questions in this Gemara in order to really understand what's going on. Before the Gemara got to how we boiled it down to 11 and to the smaller numbers, the Gemara also said something else that was very odd. The Gemara tells us there are 613 mitzvos, but it broke it down. It said that there are 365 negative commandments, 365 los asays. But it didn't just say 365 los asays. It said there are 365 los asays, 365 don'ts, keneged yemos hachama, corresponding to the days of the solar year. What does that have to do with anything? It's just a cute way to remember it. It's a mnemonic. The days of the solar year happens to be equal to the number of mitzvos. Well, what does that teach us exactly, that it's the days of the solar year? Oh, and 248 positive mitzvos, not just 248 positive mitzvos, keneged evarv shel adam. So if you happen to have taken advanced anatomy and you happen to remember that there are 248 limbs in the human body, then you'll be great. I don't even know if that's what they say in advanced anatomy, but if you happen to know that there are 248 limbs in the human body, then you'll know how many mitzvos I say there are. What does that have to do with anything? We're talking about mitzvos over here. Why would we talk about the number of days in the year? Talk about the number of limbs in the body. What's all this about? And then what's this boiling it down to lesser mitzvahs and lesser mitzvahs and lesser mitzvahs? What's all of this about? So Rav Tversky explained that the Indian is, and most of what I'm saying again is just, almost everything I'm saying is just taken directly from his shir. I'm going to supplement a little bit with a shir I once heard on Emunah from Rav Meir Tversky, Shlita, Yibad al-Chaim Tov, and Rav Meir Tversky. But Rav Moshe Tversky, Zichron Levracha, explained that the idea of the solar calendar, the idea of bringing up the concept of the human body, is that the calendar year is a unit. It's a complete unit. The human body is a complete unit. Meaning each and every mitzvah, you can look at each mitzvah and say, okay, that's valuable. And there's another mitzvah and that's valuable. And another one and that's valuable. But we have to appreciate that mitzvahs aren't just each one is valuable and 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 and you keep on adding and you get to 613. The 613 as a whole are an entirely different thing. They're much greater than the sum of their parts. It represents an entire shlemus. It represents an entire complete unit. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah explains. Ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu lezakos es Yisrael l'ficha chirbe lem Torah mitzvos. We say it all the time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be mezake klal Yisrael, wanted to give us zechuyos, to give us merits. So what does he do? He gave us chirbe lem Torah mitzvos. He gave us a lot of Torah mitzvos. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, what does that mean? It doesn't just mean he gave us a lot of Torah mitzvos. It means he gave us taryag mitzvos. Meaning it's not a number. It's not just that he gave us more, that it's a quantitative thing. It's that when we view the entirety of Torah, when we view all Taryag Mitzvos, we're looking at a Davar Shalem. And a person to be Mizakeh, a person in order to have a certain sense of Shlemus, a certain sense of completeness, to fulfill what humanity is meant to fulfill what a Jewish person is supposed to be, has to have that sense of Shlemus. So we model that shleimus after the mitzvos. We achieve that shleimus by attaching ourselves to the shleimus of the mitzvos. That's why we use the days of the year, because we don't just say 392 days, a random number. No, it's 365 days, because that's a unit, that's a full year. We don't just say a random number of mitzvos, to say it's 248, because that's a unit, that's an entire human body. And that's the way we're supposed to view our attachment to mitzvos, that it's a ma'aracha shlema, it's an entire entity. The difficulty with that is, of course, is that if we're only able to achieve this sense of shlemus by connecting to all of the mitzvos, it's like I once heard of art, Rav Tversky didn't say this, I once heard of art, I think, I don't remember from who, but I once heard of art that in the Gemara Menachos, the Gemara says, why is the tcheles blue? So the Gemara says the tcheles is blue because it, when we see the blue of the ocean, it reminds us of the blue of the tcheles reminds us of the blue of the ocean, which in turn reminds us of the blue of the sky, which in turn reminds us of the blue of the kisei hakavod, of the Evan HaSapri, the kisei hakavod. So we remember what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne is like. So everyone asks, well, what do you need all those steps for? If you happen to know that there's blue up by the kisei hakavod, so good, so have the tcheles remind you of the kisei hakavod. What's it teaching us by telling us that it reminds us of the blue of the ocean and the blue of the sky? So someone once told me a beautiful verse, said there's something special about the blue of the ocean and the blue of the sky. That is, if you go to the ocean with a glass, with a clear glass, and you stick that glass in the ocean and you pull the water out of the ocean, what color is that water? Well, it probably depends if you're in the beach here or in the beach in a nicer place, you know. But if you go pull that glass out of the ocean, the water is clear. It's not blue at all. Wherever you are, it's not blue. It's either brown or it's clear. It's definitely not blue. Where does the blue come from? The blue is only when all of the water's together and you take a step back and you look at the entire picture. The beauty of it, the grandeur of it, the majesty of it can't be seen on a small scale by taking cut by cut. You go up in the sky, you go up in an airplane, and you go skydiving or something, you jump out and you put your hand in front of your face. You don't see blue between your hand and your face. What do you mean? You're in the sky, so there should be blue between your hand and your face, but it doesn't work like that. You don't see blue when you're in it. When you take a step back and you look at the whole thing, that's where you see the blue, that's where you see the beauty of it. So that's what he's saying with Torah mitzvos. That the idea of Taryag mitzvos is, you can look at each mitzvah, and yes, each mitzvah does have value. And Sefer HaChinuch works very hard in the Rambam also. Give a tam a little bit for the different mitzvahs. Give a little bit of a reason for each mitzvah. Each mitzvah, of course, has value. And of course, is very, very important. But we're not going to appreciate the full beauty of Torah and mitzvos unless we take a look at the entire picture, unless we see all Taryag mitzvos together. It's a unit. And when we see the entire unit, the whole is much greater than the sum of its parts. But we're faced with the problem, Rav Tversky pointed out. If the only way to live a complete life as a Jew is to connect to all 613 mitzvos, how are we supposed to do that? It's impossible for any single human being to fulfill all 613 mitzvos. For example, it's so interesting to see the examples that he gave. What example would you give that we can't fulfill all 613 mitzvos? So I would say, well, I'm not a king, so I can't do mitzvos of a king. I'm not a Kohen, so I can't do mitzvos of a Kohen. And if I'm a Kohen, I'm not a Levi, so I can't do the mitzvos of a Levi. And I would have said something like that. So what did he say? He said, whoever would ever fulfill the Hishavas HaGzela, they have to return something you stole. God forbid, who would steal something? The only way to fulfill the mitzvah of returning something you stole is by stealing something first. Such a taras hanefesh, that's what he thinks of, is something that it's impossible. How could anyone ever possibly fulfill such a mitzvah? The hishev is a gzela? How could it be? And they gave other examples. Petar chamar, how are you ever going to fulfill, although people do that still nowadays, every once in a while, such a mitzvah. But most of us don't have the opportunity to do a lot of these mitzvahs. So how does one connect to these mitzvahs? So he says something that we find in many, many Rishonim. And we find it certainly in the Achronim, but he said it's found in many, many Rishonim already. That the way we connect to each of the Taryag mitzvahs, the way we connect to every single one of the Taryag mitzvahs, is through Limud Torah about the mitzvahs. That Limud about Pidyon Petar Chamar, when we learn about Pidyon Petar Chamar, that's a mitzvah, not just a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, it's a partial kiyum of the mitzvah of Pidyon Petar Chamar. When we learn about any given mitzvah, that's the Beis Halevi writes like this in a famous drasha, the Brisker Rav writes like this, the Eglei Tal Naktama alludes to this idea, that there's certainly this notion that when we learn about a mitzvah, we're connecting to that mitzvah, and it's not just that we're connecting to the Talmud Torah, that we're connecting to the Torah, the learning about the mitzvah is a partial kiyum mitzvah. I once saw, I think, one of the Perushim on the bottom of the Ein Yaakov explains, that's a famous Gemara in Shabbos. This Rabbi Tversky didn't point out, but the Gemara says in Shabbos, where the person comes to Hillel and Shammai and says, I want you to convert me, al menas, that you teach me kol ha-Torah kula, when I'm standing on one foot, al regel achas. So Shammai was dachol ba'amas habinyan. Shammai said, you're crazy, get out of here, and he pushed him away. And Hillel said that there are a couple of things you need to know. There's one thing you need to know. Whatever you don't like, you shouldn't do to somebody else. And the rest is commentary, go and learn it. So one of the Mefarshim on the bottom of the Ein Yaakov says that there are two ways that a person could connect to Taryag Mitzvos. Meaning, what the person was asking was a really good question. He wasn't just saying, I want to be an intellectual giant in 5 minutes because I think like I deserve to do that. He was saying that it's impossible. How am I going to do all the mitzvos anyway? Explain to me. How is it possible that I'm going to connect to all the mitzvahs of the Torah? So Hillel was telling him there are two ways to connect to all the mitzvahs of the Torah. One way is connecting to other people who do those mitzvahs. So I'm not a Kohen, but I have friends who are Kohanim. I'm not a Levi, but I have friends who are Leviim. And if I support them and I help them and I encourage their mitzvahs, I get a portion in their mitzvahs as well. So that's number one. Make sure you treat your friends nicely. Make sure you treat other Jews nicely. And when you treat other Jewish people nicely, you'll get a portion in their mitzvahs as well. And then the second way is by learning about the mitzvah. Idach pirusha zil gemar. The rest of it, you got to go learn. Just learn and learn and learn. And the more you learn about the mitzvahs, the more it's a kiyum of the mitzvahs. Chafetz Chaim writes like this when he talks about the importance of learning kachim, although he thought it was very important to learn kachim also just as preparation for the Beis HaMikdash. But this is an idea that's very, very well grounded in Rishonim and in Achronim. And he points out that that's why there are certain mitzvahs in the Torah that, according to Chazal, never even existed. Ben Sora Mora, Yira Nidachas, according to some opinions, it never even happened. So if it never happened, how are we supposed to connect to a mitzvah that never ever happened? So the way we connect to such a mitzvah, learn about it. When we learn about it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're Dorish HaMekabel Schar, we learn about it, and that way we get rewarded for it. But he added one more point about this idea, about the shleimus that a person achieves when he does the Taryag mitzvahs. And he pointed out that if a person is going to use this, the learning about the mitzvah, to connect to the mitzvah, and he's not going to actually be able to do the mitzvah, then a person probably has to contemplate and think about what each mitzvah means and what the value of each mitzvah is, and what the point of each mitzvah is, and what the purpose of each mitzvah is. And it involves a lot of very deep machshavos that we can never possibly fully achieve. Because we can never, as much as we try to give reasons for mitzvahs and understand them, we're never really going to finish. We're never going to get to the, you know, be yorid the sof daito of the Ribbono Shel Olam to get to understand the full, you know, what was going on in God's mind when he commanded each of the mitzvahs. And he says, maybe that's what Rashi means. Rashi doesn't mean that we don't do as many mitzvahs, that we couldn't do 613 anymore. First of all, no one was ever able to do 613. What Rashi means is that the only way we can connect to Taryag, we can connect to that Shlemus, is by learning about the mitzvahs. And learning about the mitzvahs doesn't just mean learning the basic halachas, it means really, really trying to understand the mitzvahs on the deepest possible level. Well, maybe in the earlier generations they could do that with all 613. But maybe in the later generations they have to boil it down to certain categories. To a category of 11, a category of 3, a category of 2, a category of 1. Where those mitzvahs could be the focus, and when we focus on that, it could spread from there. Our commitment to all the rest of the mitzvahs could spread from that primary focus. And it's so amazing. He says, look at the mitzvah that ultimately we boil it down to at the end of that Gemara. At the end of the Gemara, Makkel says, what does it all come down to if we have to focus on one thing in order to enrich our understanding of all of the mitzvahs of the Torah? Tzadik be'emunaso yichya. It all comes down to emunah. Emuna, trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is certainly a message that many of us needed to hear today. A Talmidim coming over to me today just saying, why does Hashem do bad things to good people? Not an original question, but something we all struggle with, and something we struggle with a little bit more on days like today. A lot more on days like today. Why do these things happen to good people? And it's not just to good people, it's to the best people. It's almost like people are being handpicked as the best people. We saw it this past summer. And now we see tzaddikim, people who are universally described. The first words off people's lips, not nice guy. The first words off people's lips are tzaddik. Handpicked, the very best. Tzadik be'emunaso yichya. The way we navigate this world is through emuna. The way we connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, said Rabbi Twersky in this shir, is through emuna. The way we understand the full picture of the world is through emuna. Someone once told me, again, Rabbi Twersky didn't mention this idea, but someone once told me that I think when Rav Yeager was sitting Shiva for his daughter, Rav Shmuel Birnbaum came to be Menachem Avel. Rav Shmuel Birnbaum said that the Medrash says that in this week's parsha, Yitzchak went blind from the tears of the Malachim, right? That the Malachim opened up the Arubas Hashemayim, they opened up the windows of Shemayim, and they started to cry, and the tears went into Yitzchak's eyes, and he became blind. So Shmuel said to Rav Yeager, why did they have to open up the window? They couldn't see what was going on. What's the imagery of opening up the window of Shemayim? And Shmuel said to Rav Yeager, he said, because the Malachim enjoy a certain perspective from where they are, that it wasn't something to cry about. Because they saw everything, they saw the whole picture. So they understood why Hashem was doing everything. They understood what the end game was. They understood what it was all about. So long as that window was closed and they were on their side and they saw from their perspective, they couldn't cry. How do they cry? They open up the window. They see it from Avram Avinu's perspective. They see it from Yitzchak's perspective. And only when they see it from that perspective can they begin to cry. Only when we're limited in our view can we cry. Unfortunately, we are all limited in our view. So we all did a fair amount of crying today. Because we're limited. We don't see everything. But tzadik be'emunaso yichya. The way we make it through is with emuna. Emuna is the one point that it all boils down to. The Vilna Gaon points out, Rav Twersky pointed out in the shir, in his Perish to Shir Ashirim, quotes a medrash that Anochi The first of the Aser Sedibros is Kolel Kol Mitzvos Asay. It includes all Mitzvos Asay in the word Anochi. And Lo Yielucha, the second of the Aser Sedibros is Kolel Kol Mitzvos Los Asay. All Mitzvos Los Asay are included in Lo Yielucha. The Medrash writes that when Klal Yisrael heard Anochi, the Torah became Nitka Belibam. The Torah became attached to their hearts. We describe the Torah as being Chakuk Aluach Libech, that it's engraved on the tablet of our hearts. That happened when we heard Anochi from Hashem. When we heard Anochi, Hashem Elokecha. The Medrash says, when we heard Lo Yielecha, Nekar Yetzer Hara Milibam. The bad was removed from our heart. The Yetzer Hara was pulled out of our hearts. Anochi is not only a mitzvah. Anochi is the idea of our belief in the Ribono Shel Olam. Anochi represents the mitzvah saseh. The Ramban writes, mitzvah saseh represent Ahavas Hashem. Ramban writes on Allah Torah, Rav Tversky pointed out, mitzvahs lo saseh represent Yiras Hashem. When we heard Anochi, that was our Ahavas Hashem. We connected to the Ribono Shel Olam. There was a sense of Ahava, there was a sense of connection. Chakuk Aluach Libam, the Torah became part of us. When we heard Lo Yielecha, that was our Yira. That was our sense of trepidation, our sense of awe, where we stay away from doing mitzvahs lo saseh. That's what the Ramban explains. We say, aseh is docha lo saseh, and mitzvahs aseh is docha mitzvahs lo saseh, because ava is a greater mila than yira. So aseh is going to be docha lo saseh. It's not a vart. The Ramban says like that. I think the Ramban also goes a step further, and he says, that's why we say, ein aseh docha lo saseh shebemigdash. Even though mitzvahs aseh pushes away mitzvahs lo saseh, in the base of migdash it's not so. In the base of migdash, aseh is not docha lo saseh. Why not? Because the primary mitzvah in the Mikdash is Es Mikdashai Tiro'u. And even though in the rest of the world, our primary way of relating to the Ribono Shel Olam, the ideal way of relating to the Ribono Shel Olam is with Ahava, in the Mikdash there's a certain sense of yearning. In the Mikdash there's a certain sense of trepidation. So, Ein Aseh Docha Lo Saseh Sheba Mikdash. But he says that's what these two klalim, Anochi and Lo Yielecha, sort of cleanse the Jewish soul. And they bring us to a certain shlemus of Ava and Yira together, where the Torah becomes part of us. The Torah becomes part of the Torah, which is part of the Bria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at the Torah and created the world. The Torah, which is part of the Bria, now becomes part of us, and we become complete through the Torah. How does it start? Sadik b'emunaso yichya. It starts with us developing our sense of emuna. Then Rabbi Tversky went on to explain why it's important to learn the Taryag Mitzvos, and he got a tremendous amount of hana'ah from the Rambam in the Hakdama to the Sefer HaMitzvos, where the Rambam describes why he wrote a Sefer HaMitzvos. If you think about it, it's an odd thing to write. Meaning, there are thousands of halachas and we have to keep all of them. So who cares whether you call it 613, there's no enough kamina halacha. Whether you call something two different mitzvahs, one mitzvah, five mitzvahs, doesn't matter, we have to do them all anyway, and we have to do many, many more. So who cares whether it's one mitzvah, how many? So he says, what the Rambam did was something that had never been done before, and was never done again. After the Rambam finished writing the Perushim Mishnayos, he decided he was going to sit down and he was going to write a book that included all of halacha for all time. And he wasn't going to skip anything. Rabbi Tversky said, you know, think about it, it's amazing. With all of the volumes that were written explaining difficult Rambams, where, what does the Rambam do with this Gemara? What does he do with that Medrash? How did he do that? No one ever thought to say, in all of the volumes that were written trying to explain the Rambam, no one, not a single author ever thought to say, he forgot. He must have just forgotten that Gemara. Never once. No one says that. They come all sorts of Torahs. No one ever had a Havamina. Maybe the Rambam forgot. So no, because the Rambam accomplished something that was so fantastic. He didn't forget. He created this book, this Mishnah Torah that was so complete. And the Rambam writes, you know how I did it? He said, I first had to make an outline. First I had to make like an outline just to work off of so that I could then fill in all the blanks. And what's that outline? The Sefer HaMitzvos. So he wrote a book, the 613 Mitzvos, just as a basic outline to make sure he doesn't miss anything. And that's what he worked off of. Of course, he got so much, I mean, I never heard him say another shir, but that, of this whole shir, that's what he got the most hanah out of. Describing the Rambam writing, an outline by which he made the Mishnah Torah, which is Mipivanu Chayim, you know, we live off of the Rambam. So what's the first Mishnah? The Rambam describes Yesod HaYesodos, Va'amud HaChachmos, the foundation of it all, is Leida SheYesha Matzui Rishon, to know that there is something that was here before. V'hu mamtzi kol nimtza, and brought into being everything that is here. V'kol ha-nimtza mishamayim v'aretz u'masha b'nayim lo nimtzu, ela me'amitas himatzav. And everything that exists in this world only continues to exist because he continues to exist. That is the mitzvah of emunah. It's a very different description than probably most of us would have given. If I ask you, what's emunah? You say, I believe that there's a God. I believe in God. What does God mean? Well, I believe an old man up in heaven. I don't know. Everyone has a different picture. The Ram doesn't describe that. The Ram describes very specifically. First of all, he doesn't use the word believe. L'ha'amin. Is leida, to know, which is different than to believe. And to know not just that there is a God that once created the world, but that there is a God that everything in creation only continues to exist because of his continued existence. And kol ha-nimtzaim tzrichen lo, everything that exists needs him. V'hu baruch hu eino tzarech lehem v'lo le'echad mehem. But he needs nothing. He needs none of them. L'fichach ein amitaso ka'amitas echad mehem. Therefore, amitaso means his existence is not like the existence of everything else. We don't say, oh, I believe in God just like I believe in the shtender. I believe the shtender exists, so I believe God exists. No, it's an entirely different thing. This shtender could not exist without God. God could exist without the shtender. It's an entirely different kind of existence. That's what it means to have emunah. The Rambam goes on to describe Yediyas davar zeh mitzvah saseh, knowing this is a mitzvah saseh, shenemar anochi Hashem Elokecha. As the pasuk says, anochi Hashem Elokecha. So we have to believe that our Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, runs the world. What does it mean to believe? The Rambam says to know. What does it mean? What's the difference between knowing and believing? So first of all, Tversky pointed out that knowing is that not just knowing that it exists, but using our intellect to grasp that which exists. Knowing means to contemplate it, to think about it, and to understand it more and more every day. That's yediya. But it also means something else. It also means, the second thing, yediya is more than just ma'amin. Like if you were to ask me now, do I believe that there is a sink in my kitchen? Yes, I believe there's a sink in my kitchen, but from the moment I left my kitchen, I didn't think about it till this moment. I wasn't thinking about the sink in my kitchen. Why would I think about the kitchen sink? But laha leida means not just to believe that it exists. Yeah, there is a God. Now I'm going to go about my life and that God will still be there when I get back. No, leida means to constantly be focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To always be focused on the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not an easy mitzvah. People think, oh, emunah, you know, the Rav Shach said that he asked the Brisker Rav once. He doesn't get the mitzvah of emunah. Either if you have it, you know, it's easy. It's such an obvious thing. Any bar das, anyone with half a brain, should be able to figure out that the world didn't get here by itself. Of course, Baruch Hu created the world, obviously. So what's this mitzvah? But if you understand the way the Rambam understands it, the way Rav Tversky explains, the Rambam understands it, leida means to constantly be focused on it. It's not an easy mitzvah at all. Rav Meir Tversky pointed out that there's never been a generation where it's easier to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu than in our generation, on a certain level. He said, modern science used to believe, Ein kol chadash tachas Hashemesh, that there's no change in the world from one day to the next. The world was always here, and therefore they were able to stick with that. But more modern science believes that there's the expansion of the universe. So the world isn't always the same. It's not static. And as science makes that discovery that the world is always changing, it really leads you down a path to a Bria Sa'ola. Like it takes you right to the doorstep of a belief in God creating the world. It's not that far, that big of a leap, scientifically, intellectually. And even historically, Rav Meir Tversky, Ibad al-Chaim, pointed out, how did people used to believe in God so easily? They would see miracles, right? The miracles were the foundation. You would see the splitting of the sea. If I saw the splitting of the sea, then I'd believe in God. Well, we see miracles all the time. But Meir Tversky pointed out, throughout the entire 19th century, the whole period of colonialism, where every little place in Europe was colonized, there was one little place that no one was successful. Nobody, none of the major European powers were successful in colonizing. They couldn't do anything with it. This teeny little land that nobody was able to, comes 1948 and all of a sudden there's building and everything and it's moving and it's a leader in industry and everything's going on and everything's happening. From a historical perspective, it's very hard not to have emunah. So in an intellectual perspective, a historical perspective, it all leads us right to emunah, Rav Meir Twersky pointed out. He said maybe the reason why people struggle so much with emunah nowadays, in spite of the fact that everything leads us right down the path to emunah, is like Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky explains in Yemes Liakov, in Parshas Ve'era, where he explains that why is it that the Rambam says that there's no such thing as a shade anymore, and there's no such thing as demons anymore? So he says that probably what the Rambam means, it's not so clear, this is what Rabbi Yaakov claims, that maybe what the Rambam means is that when there used to be nevuah, kochos hakedusha on a certain level, it had to be balanced with kochos hatumah. And as those kochos hakedusha went away, as there was no longer nevuah, just ruach kodesh, there no longer ruach kodesh, so the counterbalancing kochos hatumah went away as well. So I'm sort of saying maybe the same thing happened with emunah. As intellectually and historically we were taken closer to emunah, there are other things happening bringing us further away from emunah. And what are those things that are bringing us further away from emunah? First thing he said, two things. He said the first thing that's bringing us away from emunah is that there was never a time that a person in history, that a person was busy every second of the day, occupied every second of the day, where there was no time or no need to stop and think and contemplate. Someone told me, I forgot who it was, maybe Rav Freifeld, Zichrono Livracha, when they came out with the first car radio, he said, oh boy, that's the end of it. Now no one's going to be able to think anymore. Because you're occupied. Every second there's something. Yeah, science could take us right to the doorstep of emunah. History could take us right to the doorstep of emunah. Everything we do, all of our, everything could take us right to the doorstep of emunah. But if we never stop to think about it, we won't get there. So the counterbalancing point is that we don't stop to think. Im ein deya havdala minayim. If we don't have any deya, we don't have any time to just think about things. To be mavdil ben kodesh l'chol. To distinguish between what's true, what's not, what's important, what's less important, and what's not important at all. Well then, we're not going to get anywhere. And the second thing he thought, he said, is democratic values. We think in terms that we didn't always think in terms of. We think in terms of freedom. We think in terms of rights. We think I have the right to determine what's correct, what's not. Nobody could tell me what to do. And there is a lot of positive in democratic values, obviously. But when a person thinks that he rules over himself and that he doesn't have to accept any authority from anybody else, so that leads him away from emunah, because emunah is to believe that there is this all-powerful God that tells me what to do and tells me how to live every second of my life. So these are the balances that we have. So at the end of the day, Rav Twersky concludes the shir by saying, going back to Rav Moshe Twersky, Zichron Levracha, concludes the shir by saying that the kind of emunah a Jew has to have is a different kind of emunah than what we would generally call I believe in God. He quoted from the Balatanya, showing his broad base of knowledge. He quoted from the Balatanya that the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem is something that's not yodua lagoyim. They don't know what Anochi Hashem means. They know that there's a borei olam. Believers amongst the nations of the world know that there's a creator of the world. But our mitzvah is more than that. Our mitzvah is to think about Hashem, to focus on Hashem, to connect to Hashem. It's something that's lemala min haseichel. It's more of a connection than we can even intellectualize. It's more of a connection than we can put into words. And it's the kind of connection, if I could just add, it's the kind of connection that we desperately need on days like today. I can't tell you how comforting it was on a day as difficult and as challenging as today to hear one of the Karbanos talking about Emunah and talking about how important it is to have Emunah. It's almost like there's no one else in the world that can tell us to have Emunah except for these people. But they're not here to tell us anymore. And like to have that opportunity to just hear them tell us, have Emunah. Hashem knows what He's doing. We're going to get through this. We don't understand it. The windows in Shemayim, we don't get to see the other side of the window in Shemayim. But the Malachim aren't crying. Because the Malachim are seeing what the end game is and what the plan is. Bezos Hashem, in the chus of our learning tonight, our tefillos tonight, and our continued strengthening of our emunah, we should be able to see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's final plan is. Be'asko Ol Tzedek, and Heirav Yamin.